I'll be reading from John 15. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me.
Good morning. It is a beautiful day, a holiday weekend. Tomorrow, Memorial Day, is the unofficial beginning of summer. But we certainly want to remember those who have given their lives in the service and the defense of our nation. Sometimes we just have a holiday and we might enjoy a day off, but we certainly want to remember those who have sacrificed that we might have freedom, which is a tremendous thing, and we are certainly thankful for that. I knew this morning summer had begun without it being Memorial Day, because instead of the normal fight to get children out of the bed at 6:45, the television was on, they were already up. In the school year, that never occurs. Somehow, magically, when school is out, we can get up and be full of energy. I remember those days, vaguely. So it's a good time. Glad to have all of you with us. Many are away today, and I know folks are traveling, and we hope that they have good trips and look forward to them being back. Remember, June 7, 2 weeks from today, is our Friends and Family Day. And so invite your friends and your family and your neighbor. And if you don't have any friends, make one. But David Dunn will be preaching that day. He'll be teaching our class at 9:15, and then we'll be speaking at 10 o'clock, and then we'll have a fellowship meal together. So come and bring something and enjoy being together, but most of all, be with us and bring a friend, bring family members. That'll be a good time for us to be together, but it's just 2 weeks from today. So remember that and look forward to that time. And David is always a pleasure and a treat, always encouraging, always so informative when he's with us. So I'm looking forward to that as well. I'll talk today about Jesus as he begins to reveal himself in even a greater way to his apostles and to the disciples. But he talks about what's going to happen to him. And as was read for us, he talks about his rejection that's coming and his sacrifice, and for us not to be surprised when the world rejects us as we follow him, because the world rejected Jesus. And it's interesting as we study this, because we know that in Acts 2 that those who followed Christ found favor with all the people, and there are periods of time when Christians and the teaching of Christ and those who follow find favor, and then there are times when following Christ and being obedient to his teachings are not in favor, when it brings about persecution and struggles. And Jesus says that and reminds us of that and says, don't be surprised at that, because the world didn't receive me, even though I had created it, even though I am its redeemer and I bring good news. That's not always accepted. And so I want to look as he talks to the disciples about going to the cross, and he would tell them that if you're going to follow me, you need to take up your cross daily and follow me. That's Jesus' invitation to them. I've shared this with you many times because I think about it often. If I were Jesus' agent, I'd say, whoa, that's not the message that we're looking for. Let's stick with the life abundant message. The cross message is probably not what we're looking for. Would you not? If you were writing his ads, if you were marketing his ministry. But Jesus is telling us the truth. He's saying, if you're going to follow me, you've got to walk in the paths that I walk. Take your cross up daily. But before we get there, and that's where we're going, let's look at the backdrop of these teachings. Let's look at what Jesus says, what he knows coming, and what The struggle is for him, and the struggle is for us. This teaching follows the feeding of the 4,000. You remember where they have very little food, and Jesus is able to multiply it and feed the 4,000, and there is food left over. And so this is fresh on the mind of the apostles, that Jesus is able to take very little and to feed a great number of people. In fact, one of the Gospels, as it records this again and setting the backdrop, they have set off back across the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples, the apostles, forget to bring anything to eat. Okay? And now, I say that, you say, why is that a big deal? Well, logistics is a big deal. I don't care, you know, at what time, what place, what deal. Having food and clothing and those things are just things we have to provide for, right? A couple of the kids are going to camp this week, so we've been buying, washing, and packing for the last couple of days, making sure we've got everything that we possibly need, right? Food's going to be there, but we got snacks and we got money for the Coke machine, things we got to have. Well, as they travel, the disciples had to have food because, again, there's not a drive-through everywhere, anywhere in Jesus' time. And the reason I remind us of that is because we are so used to that. We're so used to, if I've got my card or I've got a little money, I'll just run through. If I can't do any different, I can at least run through the McDonald's, all right, and get something to eat. And we'll try to find, if nothing else, we know that they'll keep the lights out, the light on for us at one of the motels, okay? But at Jesus' time, they have to make some provision. They haven't brought any bread. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, who are not normally people who get along with each other, have kind of united against the teachings of Jesus. And that's what often happens. A common enemy will unite us, okay? So they're united, and they're asking Jesus, because he's been doing some miracles, he's been teaching, and they ask for a sign from heaven, okay? Yeah, we know you've been healing, you've been casting out, but we want a sign from heaven. Now, we're not sure what that means, but maybe they want him to bring down fire like Elijah did. And we want some sign from heaven. And Jesus said, you know how to tell the weather. You know based on whether it's red in the morning or red in the evening, and if it's cloudy, what the weather's going to be. You can read those signs, but you're unable to read the signs of the times. And the only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. Now, they don't understand what that means, but what's the sign of Jonah? Let's talk about that. Jonah is swallowed by the whale, right? And it was a whale. I know the Old Testament says a big fish, but Matthew translates it whale. So, it's a whale. Alright? When I was a kid, that was a big deal. You know, was it a whale or not? Well, one passage doesn't call it, but Matthew does. So if you were educated, you knew it was in Matthew, so you can make that argument. We'd argue about anything. It's a whale. And he stays in the whale how long? 3 days. 3 days. Jesus is in the tomb. 3 days. 3 days. So that's the sign. My resurrection, my death, burial, and resurrection is going to be a sign. But I'm not calling down fire from heaven. That's not the sign I'm going to give you. And Jesus then tells his apostles, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The teachings of the Pharisees is what Jesus is talking about. Beware of their thought pattern about what they have attached themselves to because it's not of God. Do you know what the apostles immediately go to? And this is so like us. So like us. They start to look at each other. Well, did he say that because we forgot to bring the bread? That's not what he's talking about. But when we forget something, then we assume everybody notices, right? That Jesus is rebuking them. It has nothing to do with them forgetting the bread. Because here's what Jesus says. Do you not remember when I fed the 4,000 with very little of anything? Do you think I'm worried about whether or not you brought food? I can handle that. Jesus is talking about something much larger than food. Okay? I can take care of the food, Jesus is saying to them. I'm not talking about the leaven of the Pharisees as being the bread that we're going to eat. I'm talking about their teachings. And what I'm trying to teach you is a principle much greater than food. It's much greater than here and now. My lesson is much greater for you. So that's the backdrop against Jesus, of which Jesus makes this teaching, okay? So we've got food, we've got earthly bread that Jesus has shown them He's able to provide. All right, I can provide you with that. So I want to talk to you about something greater than that. Let's bring up the text, if you would, Mike. And this is recorded in three of the Gospels. I'm going to read from Luke. Once when Jesus was praying in private and His disciples were with Him, He asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" Because here's the question, because we've got now the Pharisees looking for signs. Jesus' teachings obviously become important. So in a very important time now, Jesus is going to say, "Who do people say I am? I've been doing these miracles. I've fed large crowds. What's the perception of who I am?" And you would think the disciples would already know this answer. But they're struggling as well. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" He asked. "Who do you say I am?" And here's a passage we're very familiar with. Peter answered, "The Christ of God." What does that mean? The Christ of God. The Anointed One. The Messiah. The Son of God is what Peter is saying to him. You are the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one we have looked for. That's what Christ means. You are the one who's going to come sit on the throne of David. You're the one who's going to deliver us. You are God's Son. You're not one of the prophets. You're not John the Baptist. You are one much greater than that. It's not about bread. I'm telling you something much greater. Peter says, "I understand you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God." In the Matthew passage, you remember Jesus will talk about that it was not flesh and blood that had revealed that to him, but the Father who had revealed that to Peter. But Jesus strictly warned them not to tell anyone, not to tell this to anyone. He's not ready to reveal completely who He is. So He tells them, at this point, don't tell them that I'm the Messiah. Don't tell them I'm the Anointed One. And He said, here's why. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and He must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Now, Peter's just said, whoa, you're the Messiah. You're the Anointed One. You're going to reign on the throne of David. And Jesus said, I'm going to a cross. Then He said to them all, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will save it. What good is it if a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of Me and My words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when He comes in His glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some of you standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Jesus says, I'm going to a cross, but I just said you were the Messiah. That's not what we expect. So Peter says, Lord, this isn't so. You're not going to a cross. And you remember what Jesus says to him. Get behind Me, Satan. Get behind Me, Satan. Peter, get behind Me. Satan is using you, Peter. What does that mean? Why? Let's go back to the temptations of Jesus. There were three. One of them, Satan takes Jesus up on a high mountain and shows Him all the kingdoms of the world. Remember? And says, I will give you all of these kingdoms if you'll just bow down and worship Me. Remember that? And Peter is saying to Jesus, don't go to the cross. I don't want you to go to the cross. You're going to be the king. You're going to be the ruler, not to a cross. And Jesus is saying, get behind me, Satan. You have tempted me with that before, and you're tempting me with that again. But I'm going to do the will of the Father, and it necessitates that I go to the cross as a payment for sin. I'm going to be raised up, but I'm going to suffer the death of the cross. And Peter doesn't understand. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. You're here to reign, not to die. Because he misunderstood. He misunderstood. And Satan is using him. He's not being ugly necessarily to Peter. He's just saying, Satan is using you to tempt me not to go to the cross because it's not appealing. It's not appealing to go to a cross. Because with that came trial and beating and abuse and death, which is the consequence of sin and is the realm in which Satan reigns, right? In death. And Jesus knows he's going to face all of those things. The other day I was looking back through our pictures of Israel from just about a year ago. And where, at least some think, Jesus was crucified, the place of the skull, and we're not for sure, is a bus terminal. With all you think about a bus terminal. There are buses coming and buses going and buses parked and there is diesel and there's lots of people. And it's fenced in and chain link. And then here is a hill right outside of Jerusalem. And it does look like the skull. It does. It's got holes in it. So, you know, it could be, you would think of a place of a skull there. Golgotha, the place of the skull. And again, we don't know for sure that's where it was. But what's unique about that and why I took pictures of that is, in our minds, we think about this lonely hill kind of sitting out and those three crosses up there. But I'm going to tell you what the Romans did when they crucified you. They crucified you by the side of the road. Because not only was it about executing you, but it was about sending a message. And so we're not going off somewhere to send a message because the TV cameras aren't rolling. We're going to put you by a main thoroughfare and you're going to hang right there by the road so people coming and going see you. So when they think about insurrection, causing trouble, murder, they'll think about, I've seen that cross. I've seen those people hanging there. And so Jesus knows that's what's in his future. And he struggles with that. Up to the very night of his arrest when Jesus says, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But Jesus is willing to go to a cross. And then what Jesus says to his disciples and his lesson for all of us is, if you're going to follow me, daily take up your cross and follow. Daily take up your cross and follow me. It is an invitation to take up our crosses because Jesus says, I read, what good if you gain everything? But lose yourself. What is understood? So what if I'm ruler of the world and I'm disobedient to God? That I don't do God's will? What good is that? What gain, what prosperity is there for us in this life if we forfeit our souls? Jesus said, take up your cross now. Jesus took up his cross not out of weakness, but out of strength. This is important. Jesus took up his cross not out of weakness, but out of strength. He was not defeated at the cross. He was victorious at the cross and the resurrection. And the reason I say that is Jesus had been able to take the bread and multiply it. He had power over that. And immediately following this, the gospel writers will talk about him going up on the mountain and being transfigured and seeing his power. So Jesus, as the New Testament tells us, emptied himself and went to the cross. He could have done something different, but he was obedient to God and went to a cross to fulfill God's will and purpose, and God has raised him from the dead and exalted him to his right hand. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, because no one who gives up his life will go without reward. Jesus is saying, don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed to wear my name. Don't be ashamed to follow and teach my teachings, even if they're unpopular. Don't be afraid to seek me when the whole world is seeking material things, because I've already shown you I can provide all the material things, and that's exactly what Jesus tells us, right? Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to put on, because why? Because God provides that for nature. How much more is he going to provide it for you? I just fed thousands of people. I can deal with that. There are things that are much more important. And there are things not of this world, but of the world to come, that when we follow God and take up our cross, that we are going to win the greatest of victories. And Jesus understood that. He gave up being ruler of this world today, knowing that God would exalt him and put all enemies under his feet. And Jesus calls us to live by faith, to take up our cross as well and follow God, knowing that God will care for us and that God will reward us greatly in the world that is to come. Take up our cross and follow Jesus. It's easier to want to do the things that make life comfortable and to get along. It just is. Jesus fought the temptation, this can pass. I can just bow down to Satan and rule the world. That's what Satan offered him. I can avoid the cross, but Jesus does God's will because he knows, one, it's the right thing, because he loved us and gave a sacrifice, but because he was obedient to the Father and he knew God's power and God's blessing. And so he was obedient even at his own pain. We have to look beyond today and look at the promises of God and say, we're only here for just a little while. Ralph, I'm going to share our conversation from earlier today. Ralph and I had a great conversation out in the foyer. Ralph and I, somebody said, what a beautiful day today is. And it is beautiful, isn't it? Yesterday was beautiful. I was out in it all day, other than a little bit of burn. I don't have a farmer's tan up here. Mine ends right there at the wrist. I wear long sleeves. Dr. Goodman will be proud of me. But it was a beautiful day to be outside. And this morning is beautiful. But our conversation was, this is nothing compared to what God has prepared for us. Because all of us, even the view this day, are struggling. Our prayer list is long. There's not a face I look at here that I don't know there's some struggle going on with sickness, with family issues. There's just all of us deal with it. But that soon will be over. John says God will wipe the tears from our eyes and all the pain and death. The former things will have passed away. I don't care. It is a beautiful day, and I'm thankful for it. And God blessed us with it, and I don't want to take away from that. But as God's people, we know the greater days are ahead. Jesus says, take your cross. Follow me. Walk in my ways. Do my will. Do the will of the Father, because God will reward us, and great days are ahead. Great days are ahead. Sometimes it's hard to stand with God. We've lived and are living in a wonderful time. I believe in one of the greatest times in all of human history. I believe that. And in one of the greatest places. One of the greatest places, the greatest time in all of human history. It is wonderful. It is wonderful. But the day may come in our lifetimes when we'll undergo a persecution for standing for Christ that we've not seen in the history of our nation. Maybe we haven't seen, certainly for us or our ancestors, for years and years. I'm not pessimistic about that. I just think the day is coming when folks won't want to hear God's truths. But the question comes, do we stand with God? Not only in the teaching of truth, but do we stand with God when we realize what's important in life? Is it the material things Or is it the things that last? Because that's a struggle for us, isn't it? And again, the backdrop of this is, Jesus said, I got the bread covered. It's not about bread. I got that. God's got that. I've told you that. I'm going to keep telling you that. I've got that. There are greater things. Trust me, I'll provide the things you need. But I'm not saying that life won't be a struggle. I'm telling you, take up your cross. And do not be surprised when there are persecutions and denials and that you're ostracized because the world didn't know me. And if you follow me, you should expect the same thing. But know that I'm going to care for you and provide the things you need. And that great is the reward of those who follow me. Because for those who confess me before men, I'll confess before the Father. If you're not ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you. But if you are, if you're ashamed of me and won't stand for my truth, then I won't stand for you before the Father. That's what Jesus says to us. He calls us to follow. He said, take your cross because I'm going to take mine. I'm going to bear the cross. You take your cross daily and follow me because great is our reward. Jesus took the cross again, not out of weakness, and that's important. It was not out of weakness. He wasn't defeated. In his strength, he was willing to take the cross because he loved us and it was God's will. And he calls us out of faith to take our cross and trust in him and follow him every day. Every day. Be about his business, about his truths, about his will, caring for others and loving God. Jesus went to a cross to shed his blood that we might be forgiven because you and I are sinners. He shed that blood that we might be redeemed. He became a sacrifice for us. He suffered death that you and I might have eternal life. If you're not a Christian today, we'd encourage you to come. If you believe that Jesus was the Messiah, is the Son of God, that God raised him from the dead, and if you're willing to confess that he is Lord and walk in his ways and be cleansed in the waters of baptism, we'd encourage you to come. For all of us who are Christians, we have that opportunity to pray for one another, for spiritual needs that we have, to be able to repent and to move forward, to take up our crosses and follow Jesus, because we know that just as Jesus died on the third day he was raised, when Jesus returns in his power, all of us who are children of God will be raised from the dead. We'll be raised from the dead. We're going to live forever. We're going to live forever where all of the struggles are gone. What a great day that's going to be. What a great day. If you need to come today, won't you do that while we stand and sing?